gross. Your exhale is nothing. We're gonna need a big show. We're gonna need a bigger, 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 bigger. We're gonna need a big show. We're gonna need a bigger show with Mike, Kim, and guests.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to We're Gonna Need a Bigger Show, episode 55.
Five, 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 five.
Today
it's gonna be a hard one.
It's gonna be tough to get through. Today we continue.
I'm turning down my mic a little bit because I can already tell it is clipping.
Is that what
bad.
They used to call you?
That's still call me. Let's not. Let's get things straight. Okay.
Speaking of your name, though, have you ever heard the song by Ty Segall, Mike D's Coke?
You know we're recording right now, right?
Oh yeah.
I have it.
Oh my god.
I do know.
Hey.
There's Chris Ott, everybody.
Well, yeah, it came on the other day on Spotify, and I tried to send you something, but it wouldn't let me. Great. It's a weird track.
It's a great story.
It's Coca-Cola, is what Coca-Cola. It's referring to. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not, like, inappropriate. It's just...
Coke wouldn't be inappropriate. It depends on the circle around it.
Yeah.
Today, we continue our ongoing series, The Road to Fondo!
Yes!
Yes!
Hello there!
Bienvenue! Would you like
Mike has a new character called the NPC, or non-player character.
I'm the non-playable character in a game.
Yeah.
Hello there! Bienvenue! Would you like to sample my wares?
He's moving jerkedly right now.
Like an NPC would.
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have enough coin for that, son.
Would you like to rest in the inn?
Would you like to try again? Good choice. Goodbye. Hello there.
I like the NPCs on Black Flag whenever you're out of the Animus.
Yeah.
And their hands are just like gliding over the keyboard behind the computer.
They're just trying.
And they're like, I can't believe this internet connection is so fast. It'll change everything.
This is gonna be a good show. Today we are joined by Wildfront.
Hey.
Featuring
Josephine Moore.
Josephine Moore.
John Corlew.
And
Krista Glover.
The band known as Wildfront. Thank you all so much for. Oh,
I feel like you should say. I feel like you should say it in kind of a like Sebastian Bach.
Wildfront.
No, like
Sebastian.
You met like hair metal.
Sebastian.
Johann Sebastian Bach.
Not Johann. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Sebastian. Not
but
Sebastian.
That was Beethoven.
What's the guy's name that was on Gilmore Girls? The rock star?
No one knows the answer to that
That's
question.
That's fine.
So. The Gilmore guy.
The Gilmore guy, eh? Yeah. That was Jared Padalecki, my favorite actor of all time.
Cameron spends so much of this podcast talking about Jared Padalecki, it's getting to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's getting to be a problem.
I should talk to my wife.
Hello! Is this thing on? raucous.
Yeah.
Raucous good time. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today.
Of course.
You just got back from a tour, but we're not going to talk about that yet.
Oh.
We'll talk about that soon. First and foremost, Joe, how did you start your musical journey in life? That's what I want
to
know.
Single me out.
Well, because you know you're to my immediate left.
All right, so we're going around the circle. You're next.
I'll say who's next.
Okay.
All right. This is Mike's show.
All right. This is the only time in my life where I'm in charge. Okay?
We're in Mike's house, so don't tell him what to do.
Kitchen studio. Anyway.
Well, I started out playing piano. Like most children.
At what age did you start?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Let's see. I was in elementary school.
Okay.
And I took lessons for about a year. But I didn't really enjoy playing piano.
Why is that?
I don't really know. I always wanted to play drums, actually. And so piano was like what
you wanted to make louder noises.
All children, I think, have the innate... desire to play drums.
I was in our school band in fifth grade, and we had the way that we learned drums was on little drum pads, little just rubber drum pads, mm-hmm. and we did a recital with them. So I think every
a recital on the rubber.
Oh, it was awful.
Oh my god!
Yeah. Oh no! Not even. Not even. Not even that.
It was just like.
Yeah, it was bad. It was real bad. Oh. But I think every child's desire is to bang around on a drum set. Yes, it made dry dust noises.
They're in a low-income inner-city school.
Kinda, though. Anyway, I'm sorry. So, did you pick up drums after that?
No, I wasn't allowed to have a drum set in my parents' house, right. So... I was like, well, can I play guitar? And I remember the first guitar that I ever got, my mom was going to make me learn on acoustic first, which is a good thing. I'm glad she made me do that. Mm-hmm. But I remember it was like the one and only Christmas that I snuck downstairs like in the middle of the night to see. And my first guitar was sitting there on the floor, surrounded by Lord of the Rings action figures.
Oh, perfect.
Wow.
That's awesome. Except for the fact that you sinned. By going downstairs before Christmas morning. That is so you didn't true. Deserve making any Santa of it. Cry. Yeah.
He came and took them all back.
What was the make and model of your guitar and your Aragorn?
I don't even know.
Okay.
I don't
Which
even know.
Aragorn?
It was I know my guitar was a
came in a two-pack.
Yamaha.
His head popped off.
Classical. My mom didn't know what she was doing, so okay. She got me a classical guitar, which I actually love because it was a lot softer.
Do you still have it?
I do, but it's missing all of its strings. They've all broken, and it's been up in the attic for a long
shredding.
Time. Yeah. Classical.
From shredding, yeah.
Yeah.
Those concertos will catch you every time.
No, I never played like that, but... So then I started taking guitar lessons. I took lessons for about a year in middle school, and then... parents couldn't afford it anymore, so I kept just like learning stuff on my own because I had gotten the basics down.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when I started writing my own music. Probably my sophomore year or no junior year of high school. I think the first. Well, no, that's not true. Damn it.
Liar.
No, yeah, no cursing in the podcast,
swear
please.
All
thank
the
you.
Fucking time.
Okay. Well, so the first, I remember the first song that I wrote, like all of the parts, and I recorded it on a little MacBook in GarageBand. It was my junior year of high school. And I hated it, and I still hate it. It sucks. But then shortly
Garage
after that.
Band?
Yeah.
Or.
Garage Band?
Garage Band. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The little Apple.
No, I meant, is that what you hated, or your songs?
Oh,
or
no,
your
the song. The okay. song. That yeah. was bad. I had it was 30A, which is about a, it's a highway in Florida.
Why did you write about a highway in Florida?
Because it's a very important highway. It has Rosemary Beach on it and Seaside. And
that's one of my favorite spice-related beaches.
Rosemary?
Rosemary.
Yeah. I can't talk to you anymore. Okay. Can you leave?
Wow.
I might.
Long stretch of road, little white line.
That was 30A. Like he remembers.
No, I even sampled. There were samples in GarageBand of like... Wave sounds. I had that in there too.
Don't forget the seagulls.
Can we get a
there are seagulls.
That for the podcast?
I think no. There are actually also samples of like creaking wood to sound like you're on a boat.
This could have been on pure moods. I feel
jeez.
Like.
Yeah.
It was so cheesy. So that, and then shortly after that, Phantom came, which Phantom was, you know, one of those early written.
Which you are done with.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later.
Anyway.
Because I do want to bring that up. Okay, so that's your kind of your beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Krista, I want to talk to you next, just because you two started, or when, you know, the band started with the two of you.
Mm-hmm. But so, also to undermine the fact that she thought
that she thought
you
I was
going
go
to
go. I'm proving a point right now.
Okay,
yeah.
I see.
The power is here. I have the power.
Meet.
And this is the last time I ever talked to Joe or Krista or John. This is it. Krista, how did you? No. Where did you start with music?
I started at a young age. Playing instruments or anything sort of skipped over my parents. The only other person who did in my family was my grandpa. And he got me my first guitar when I was 5. And I guess I started taking lessons about that time.
Oh, wow.
I skipped around to several different instruments. I took lessons for everything that I played until I was probably in, I guess, like middle school, maybe 7th or 8th grade. And I just played, you know, this and that and whatever, and I probably played keys the most, which is why it bled into, you know, what I was doing when you guys met me, of course. I never took any formal lessons for bass. It's one of the only instruments that I've ever played where I didn't. But I enjoy it the most, probably for that reason, because it's like more, you know, more freedom and
sure.
Less. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's just sort of how I got started with that. And then formed my first band when I was in eighth grade.
Whoa. What was the name of the band?
Oh, Jesus. That wasn't it. it was a worship band.
It was a worship band. Music, yeah.
Yeah, no. It was called...
Oh, Jesus and the Disciples.
Yeah. It was called... Night Divides Sound.
Sounds very like...
Yes!
And they said we were ghosts.
Yeah, that kind of like...
Oh, by the trail of death.
Yeah, like sort of somewhere in a sentence, but no one would actually say this, you right. know, that kind of deal.
That's so perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty great. Andy Johnson was in it with me. He did vocals, and I remember a funny story about that was I hated music that involved screaming, you know. None of my guy friends agreed with me on that. It just so happened none of my guy friends in the band agreed with me on that either, and so I used to give them a hard time, like, just sing, like, just you've got a good voice, just sing,
right?
And then I wasn't there when they were like recording, and I heard the demos afterwards Cody Guthrie's 4-track, and it was which Andy's still doing that. He's still doing the really? Screaming thing, yeah, and DeVega Bike now.
Oh, good for
him. So,
he's still doing the screaming.
Yeah, no,
still
but.
Screaming. Still screaming. The mic tells a lucky story.
Yeah. yeah, but anyway, so that was eighth grade. I was probably 13 or 14. And by the way, can I just say, today I realized, and I told her, my mind was blown.
This is big. I know this.
Here comes this big piece of information.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want to disappoint you.
No, now you got to.
Yeah.
Disappoint away. Here we go.
Yep.
I realized today I, like, stood up, because I was sitting down, and I just, like, shot up and said, Joe, in 2005, I was listening to Green Day and My Chemical Romance and all of these things, and that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be celebrating my 10-year reunion this year. So.
Yeah, you were. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
That's or as I did,
crazier.
Simply noting that it's happening, not so much celebrating it.
Right. Did you go?
No.
It was a Romy and Michelle sort of deal where you overheard someone talking about it and you were like, why wasn't I invited?
Hey,
I'm just
oop,
kidding.
Oop. I'm vaguely aware of that movie.
It's so good.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, so then that ended. Whatever.
Right.
Fast forward. Formed a band with some other people in 2011.
Okay.
And that slowly morphed into...
What was that band? Was that with Joe?
No.
Okay.
So she that? Joined that afterwards in, like, 2012, probably? Maybe? Early 2012? That band was Preston, who
okay.
played drums in Josephine and the Wild Front right. whenever that happened. Our friend Danny, who played guitar, and then some other people who, like, kind of came and went okay. toward the beginning. And then me, Preston, and Danny, we didn't have a singer / front person, and none of us wanted to step into that role. And I had known her for a really long time, so I was like, Joe...
I was hoping you were going to say you brought back your screaming friend.
Yeah, Andy stepped up to the plate. No, he would have if we had... Yeah.
You started screaming.
I started screaming. No.
finally gave up and said, okay.
No, so yeah, we asked Joe to join, and that became Holy Coast.
Ooh, Holy
I
Coast.
Like that.
It's like Holy Ghost.
It's Holy like Ghost. That, yeah. Great job.
I was going to say it's like Sunrise.
Can we include like an applause like track right
yes.
here? We'll just. Yeah, we'll punch
make
that
it now.
In.
Okay, everybody get ready. We're going to record our
no.
applause.
No.
Nope. Okay, we won't. Okay, okay. We'll do it.
Oh, all right.
There it is.
Puns.
That was clipping
clipped.
All over the place. Yeah.
Puns and band names.
Yes.
So that dissolved into us playing exclusively Joe's music afterwards. And then it was just me, Joe, Preston. We had sort of revolving bass players for a while. And
I played bass in Revolving Bass Player.
Yes. All you do is stay. You have to get a wireless system because you're just revolving the entire time. Yep. And if you don't, you'll get kind of
Yeah, Velvet Revolving Bass Player.
Yeah, that's what I'm
underground.
Yes, perfect.
So yeah, and then we found Devin, who is still in the band. He's just not at the interview right now.
Okay.
And now John's in the band.
Yeah, so let's talk about John. John, cool. Tell us your music background, my friend.
Jeez, where to start? My family, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, my brothers, my brothers, my mom and my dad, my grandparents, they've all had pianos.
Okay.
Every house had a piano. My grandmother kind of taught me. I've been playing piano since I was like 2. I would just like and
how was it?
That was his vocal accompaniment. One the piano didn't sound like that.
How did you do it? One more time. That's what I
mean. Now it's 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Brad.
Yeah. Sweet.
Started taking lessons, and...
Whoa. That was a brilliant water sound. I love that.
And
off the rails.
Yes. I love it, though.
Yeah. I couldn't read the music. I
at all.
Could. A little bit. But I would watch. My teacher would give me something and then go home, learn it, come back.
What age did you start taking lessons?
I was probably 6, okay. 7. And I would take it to my grandmother. She would play it and I would just watch her and listen to it and then figure it out and play by ear. And that went on for about a year and a half, and then one day my piano instructor sits me down and I'm ready to play this piece, and she goes,
"Oh, this is gonna be big,
John.
This is gonna be big.
We need to talk."
Oh.
And I'm like, I remember my face was so red, it was so warm, it was so nervous, so and she says, "I know you can't read music, and you've been playing by ear." She said, "You've cheated me." She said that verbatim.
Wow.
And I was a little kid. I was freaking out, so I didn't take lessons after that.
She was mad?
It seemed like it, yeah.
You cheated me.
You cheated me. But she was a nice woman. She
sounds like a real asshole.
Yeah. She's a nice asshole.
A nice hole?
This is a nice hole.
Yeah. Nice asshole. The mic does like story.
And
he's gonna write that down.
Nice hole. My new band.
Nice hole. I did play bass for Nice Hole.
Yeah?
For a little bit.
That's wicked.
Tight band. Come on! Come on! Come on!
Podcast
guys.
Over.
I'm about to leave.
That's it. Joe's done.
I'm about to leave.
Joe's had it. Alright, after that.
I picked up a guitar, literally. Picked it up, and I sat it on my lap.
You don't have to say literally.
Literally.
It's what you do with a guitar.
I picked it up.
I literally strummed it.
I strummed the strings, and I mean, I strummed the heck out of them. And I was playing with my thumb.
Did you pick, though? Did you pick?
I picked it up.
Okay.
Wait, this is David Lynch explaining playing guitar. Yeah. Yes. You want to do that?
I mean, nice strings, coiled strings.
I mean, I picked up the guitar.
You can't literally pick up a guitar. Get real. I mean, come on. I'm glad that this happened.
Yes.
I was playing the guitar with my thumb. My left hand. I mean, a nice long thumb.
Just kidding.
And just, I couldn't play. I would play one string and then kind of like do this weird. I can play that note too. At the same time with my that finger.
Yeah.
Which one?
It's the bird.
Mm-hmm, the bird
flicking you off right now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And and then eventually kind of
tilted it
and played that. And then fifth grade picked up, I got a drum set. My dad's best friend, his name is Carl, called him Uncle Carl.
Shout out to Uncle Carl.
The drummer for Styx.
No shit.
Before, right, check this out, right before they blew up, he quit.
Oh,
damn.
And he would always call
me. Come on.
He's calling me.
I can't believe
right now.
That was me that time.
That was Uncle Carl. Yeah. Can't take it right now.
You don't know what the conditions were like. Just mention that, okay?
Don't bring up the S word.
Oh, okay. So I'm in band in fifth grade. Uncle Carl, I'm in the band in fifth grade, and the first instrument I picked up was a sousaphone.
Okay.
Because it was huge, it was white. It's a
marching
big
trombone,
ass,
right?
Yeah.
The marching trombone.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry, tuba.
It's a tuba.
Marching
yeah.
tuba.
And three valves.
Sousa development?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Of the John Philip variety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would always look at the percussion section in the back and just frown and cry. And not really.
Not literally.
Went home. Uncle Carl's at the house. And I'm saying, Uncle Carl, I want to play the drums. And he says, okay, you go to your band director tomorrow. And you say, hey, Dick, I want to play the fucking drums. So.
Literally what Carl said?
That's what he said.
Okay.
Okay.
Next night, I come home with a snare drum in my hand.
No. Did you say those exact words?
I did.
To you?
Oh, what?
What?
And,
hold on.
Mr. Sharp. At
what
Mitchell,
was Mr. Sharp's reaction to this?
He
was his name Dick Sharp? Like, could you call him Dick and it be
Richard,
okay? Or was
yeah.
it?
I think his name was Dick.
Okay, well then you literally called the man a dick.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know That's what rough. I was thinking. I was in fifth grade and thought it was appropriate because Uncle Carl told me it was okay.
Yeah. My Uncle Carl said.
My Uncle Carl told me to tell you, hey, Dick, I'm going to play the fucking drums. Here's my sousaphone.
He felt so bad for you after coming from that environment that he
And
then
my dad just buries his face in his hands. But then I'm in the percussion section. And,
wow.
Got my drum kit, started playing drums, and still do. High school was in drumline. Mm-hmm. Dabbled with guitar.
With
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Yeah,
made a drumline joke. It's fine. It's fine. Joe is just judging. Just so much judging from Joe.
What did you expect?
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I medicated before you came over so I could prepare myself.
I don't know how many times I've seen you send her text messages that just say, you are a monster, period. So, just throwing that out.
I get those too.
Yep.
We're if the monsters know, you, in Mike's life.
Yeah.
Now, as far as first band...
Did you grow up here?
I was born in Murfreesboro.
Oh, let
yes.
him tell you this one.
Okay.
How about I stop talking about that?
My great, 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 great,
eight.
If I'm not mistaken,
great? Eight. Yeah, eight,
eight,
count eight.
Generations,
G8.
Grandfather was the first mayor, governor of Murfreesboro.
Mayor.
Mayor. He was a mayor. He was an emperor.
The emperor of Murfreesboro.
Grand czar of Murfreesboro.
Grand
so hold
Poobah
on. In your family, you have the pre-famed Styx drummer and then the first grand czar.
And they've of been here. They've been in this house in Murfreesboro. This,
yeah.
Since.
Wow. Yeah.
Ever
Stark.
Since.
Wow.
It's
Joe,
insane.
Where did you grow up?
Franklin.
Okay. When did you move to Murfreesboro?
Three-ish years ago.
When the band started? Around that time?
Yeah. 3 years?
Yeah.
You grew up in...
I mean, I grew up in Smyrna and then moved to Murfreesboro.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Hell of a town, Smyrna.
My family.
I want to establish that before we move on where
library.
Everybody grew up.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, in the Air Force base.
Yeah. My family's from the farmlands, so I'm not from...
Farmlands.
Okay.
My family's from the farmlands of
so
Georgia.
So first band.
First band. My cousin played guitar, Spencer Blake.
Yeah.
Who is now playing in Andy Johnson's DeVega Bike, that band. And a mutual friend of all of ours, Brendan Johnson, formed this, like, MXPX pop punk band called The Action Figures.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Isn't that a good one?
Yeah. I like it.
And I had long hair.
Oh, you?
I did.
Oh, jeez.
You weren't... Wait, are you being serious?
Yeah.
Your band was The Action Figures?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there another Action Figures that's higher profile?
No.
Did Andy Johnson's brother have an Action Figures t-shirt?
Yes. Mark?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was an actual band.
Oh. Well, it was.
It was.
Oh, well, no offense.
Wow, you should hear it.
Krista throwing the shade.
That's crazy. This is the second time that one of John's bands at a distance I thought was actually a famous band because I didn't know anybody in it.
Oh, interesting.
Which, that band...
What was the other band?
The other band, Sheila and Wolf.
Is that...
Yeah.
And okay. I left... Well, Action Figures became Cupbearer to the King.
Oh my god, is that another one?
I love old band names. It's my favorite thing in the world.
That became House in the Hole, which you weren't.
Yeah. After Cupbearer... They started House in the Hole.
We're going to take 3 minutes so Krista and John can work through some stuff.
And then...
What's up? What do you got, Joe?
I was in a band in high school that I completely forgot about. I thought you would like the name.
Oh, let's have it.
Please.
Ronald and the Ray Guns.
There was no Ronald, correct?
No.
Unlike Josephine of the Wild, there was a Josephine.
There was, but there isn't anymore.
She is no more.
Joe quit the band.
This is her clone.
That's what we're here to announce to the world.
Her doppelganger.
Okay, so after Cupbearer to the King.
Cupbearer to the King. My buddy Jay Russ, phenomenal guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
We just started messing around playing this mathy grindcore metal, southern metal stuff. And that became... this electronic hip-hop weird music.
Yeah.
That was Sheila and Wolf in the very beginning. This guy Tombo, who now lives in Oklahoma City, rapped for us. And how I met Tombo, he heard some of my music from someone. So we picked him up. I put a CD in with beats, and I was just like, go. I hear you can freestyle. And we drove around for an hour.
I hear you can freestyle. Let's see what you got, big daddy.
The car was full of cigarette smoke, and he was like, what am I doing in here?
But he did not stop for the entire drive.
Wow.
For like an hour straight. And I was like, okay, here we go.
Right.
So from there, Sheila and Wolf, so many different phases. It went from that to... this, like, strictly, well, I remixed a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And that's kind of how this all came together. I'll get to that. But went to this strictly electronic and then incorporated live instruments, and that was strange. I don't know.
Well, before we get to how... all this came together. Let's talk a little bit about... And so you became Josephine and the Wild Front. What was kind of... I mean, when I first heard you, it was this thing of... I had been living here for a while. I had not heard anything like it. I mean, you knew... I mean, you guys knew other bands in town. Was there a need and a want to sound different than what Murfreesboro was putting out there? Or was that... already built into your aesthetic? How did you develop the sound of what you were, essentially?
Well, Swallowed by the Ocean was initially started with me and a producer.
Okay.
And...
who was your producer on that?
Rob Webb. He's the owner of Just Love.
Okay.
But he listened to some of my old... really shitty recordings of some old songs, and he was like, I want to... do an EP with you for free.
Wow.
So, yeah, we... And this was, like... I had only ever played shows. I had only ever played my songs as acoustic and vocals. Like, that was it.
Sure.
So I had no idea what I wanted to do with these songs. And so he picked five out of all the songs that I played for him. And he actually got his master's degree. Is it master's or bachelor's?
He got his master's in piano performance.
Classical piano.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Mm-hmm. So he has all of these crazy keyboards in his studio, which he no longer has that studio anymore. But
we don't talk about that.
Yeah, it was pretty. Yeah.
So, with me not really being from Murfreesboro, I was not, even at that point, was still not entirely aware of what the music scene in Murfreesboro was really like.
Okay.
I had been to a lot of house shows in Nashville, but I had not really attended many in Murfreesboro. So
then I guess for you personally, what were like your influences as you were writing and you were coming up with your material?
I really liked a lot of female musicians, mm-hmm. Regina Spektor, Feist. Wyoak was always a really big inspiration sure. to me.
Meredith Brooks.
Crash and burn.
Crash and burn.
Who's that?
The answer's no. I'm a bitch. No. I'm a love.
Oh. Same. Oh.
Sorry.
Seriously, leave.
Yeah. No,
I'm just kidding.
But yeah, so what?
That one song that everyone thinks is by Alanis, but it isn't.
Oh,
I could see.
Thought it was, actually.
Same.
Just this moment.
Sorry. I'm saying.
I learned something today.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
So yeah, it was kind of like I didn't really know what we were doing, and Rob, you know, kind of had his own ideas, so we just kind of brought them together. And
so as you're developing this EP, was the band involved with that at this point?
No.
Okay, so how did the band become involved?
Well, we were doing Holy Coast, and then, like, at the perfect time, Danny, the guitarist of that band, ended up dropping out. And so we were just kind of like, what are we going to do now? And so then shortly after that, we started recording, and then Rob was like, you're going to need a live band to be able to perform these. So I was like, well, perfect. I have a drummer and I have a keyboard player.
Yeah, perfect timing, just meaning as far as like, hey, can you provide these things now
sure.
and no one gets left out or whatever.
Sure.
Not perfect as in, oh, that's convenient. Because, you know, at the time we were really discouraged and whatever, but
right.
then this happened at the same time, so.
Yeah. So Preston did end up having to, we had to find somebody to record drums, and at that point he had already agreed to do it, so he recorded all the drum parts, but Crystal was not as much involved in the EP as I would have liked for her to be.
Okay.
Of course, you know, a lot of it was complete before we even got to recording. The entire thing was complete before we recorded drums.
Okay.
So, it was just one of those processes. And because it's so, I guess, separated from who we are as a group at this point, even at, like, that point, it was hard to own as all of ours. We weren't, you know, I wasn't able to say, this is my band. This is my band that, you know, this is a band that plays these songs. Because it was like, these are my songs. And they just, you know, learned their parts.
Sure.
So once we got past that and were able to write together, that was when it felt more like a band. And so that's partially another reason why I don't like it as much, is because it's just like, that's another one of my solo things.
Was that another reason why it became Wildfront as opposed to
yes.
just being Wildfront?
We actually started out as just Josephine.
Okay.
And that was also because, you know, originally I was a solo artist and it was just easy to go into. And then I was like, I don't want to be a solo artist anymore. I'm going to add a band title to it. And then I got to the point where people were booking us for, you know, acoustic shows and playing with like folk country acts, and we're like,
because it's name and somebody's
name and the backing band, you know,
which is weird.
Which
I mean,
isn't
name
the format.
And somebody's
yeah,
the name and the somebody's.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I played. Never mind.
Yeah, you will, you will play bass.
Yeah.
You have it. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
He's a somebody.
Yeah. So, also because a lot of the music that we like, a lot of the bands that we like, I mean, it's just, it just seemed like a silly name.
Sure.
So.
So, Chris, I mean, what was that time period like for you, and just hearing, you know, what y'all were producing as opposed to some of the other things that were here in town? I mean, it, you know.
I was aware of groups that people who I was friends with were in and right. things like that. Otherwise, I was pretty detached from, you know, the local scene as far as... firsthand, I guess. Like, I was
John
aware.
John would be able to answer this.
John was more immersed in certain circles than I than I was, but I was aware of people older than me and things like that. And as far as people who are our age and whatever, I don't know. I just I really didn't start going to things, unfortunately, until I was more involved. Until I was actually playing.
Sure.
Which was a lesson within itself. Like, you should support what's happening around you regardless of, like, your firsthand involvement. Mm-hmm. But because we weren't really involved with local bands beforehand, we didn't have anything that we thought was the standard or the norm, or, like, what this is what people are doing right now, because, right. like, we didn't really know. And so we just kind of, you know, I appreciate your compliment saying that you think we sounded different. That just, I guess it just sort of happened, but we sure. were really unsure of what we wanted to sound like and what we wanted to write and everything for a couple of years. Like, okay. we haven't really been a band super long, but most of that was us just trying to figure it out. And so we had songs that we, like most bands, that we just, like, have completely discarded entire set lists, and we're like, right. we are never playing this song ever again, sure. you know, because it was like, that was a fluke. We only did that because we were confused.
Right.
But,
so. Which is, that's, it's interesting to hear you say, you know, oh, we've only, you know, haven't been a band that long, because it was still a matter of, it just all sounded so, the first time I heard y'all, it all sounded so cohesive and polished, you know, it's hard to believe, even now, having gotten to know y'all, that it hasn't existed for much longer.
We're pretty sure you're lying.
So John, I mean, when you entered into this, I mean, you know, you've known Joe and Christopher a while, like, right?
Well, so... I'm over at my buddy Carter's house, mm-hmm. Carter Hayes, and he's
the notorious Carter Hayes.
Yes. And he's on SoundCloud, and he's like, "Hi, my neighbor is Joseph."
Not what he sounds
fella.
Like.
Fella. No, Carter. No.
No, ma'am, I haven't.
Don't start.
Haven't heard her music.
You gotta stop.
This will, yeah. It'll completely derail. It's
and
not like Christopher Walken now.
He shows me, were those the shitty recordings that you mentioned?
Yeah.
On SoundCloud? Mm-hmm. I heard the shitty recordings. And
man,
I was so impressed, and then eventually saw you guys play, and I guess further down the line, we...
Did you, so, I mean, you knew a lot of other bands in the scene. Did you have that same impression that it didn't sound like
anything in Murphy's?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I had no idea where it came from.
Sure.
And it was wild. It blew my mind. And I
wild.
It was like totally freaking rad and like crazy cool.
Crazy.
But
what is this guy's name?
Wave Rider.
Gerald Wave. Yeah.
Wave Rider.
Gerald the Wave Rider.
That laugh I just emitted. That was Gerald the Wave Rider's laugh. I went. That's like a machine gun yeah. of laughter.
Yeah. So
it's like a big dopey machine gun.
Plan this. I guess it got more kind of strokesy, rock and rolly live band. No, I had a keyboard, mm-hmm. An auto-tune pedal, microphone. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounded like. And live drummer, J-Russ, playing guitar. And we played shows together. And
you were playing bass, too.
I was playing bass. And we played, we opened for them. Them. Mm-hmm.
These two.
Josephine and the Wild Front. At the Little Shop of Records on the Square. Their CD release show.
Oh, yeah, you guys played that with us.
And after that, I mean, this is strange, just a little fun fact. And I had forgotten, but before, I guess I didn't know where to park. And Joe, you were just outside, and you got in my car and showed me where to park in the back.
Not knowing each other.
That's right.
And so we played that show, and then I guess I just contacted you and said, hey, do you have any acapellas? Mm-hmm. And they sent me acapella tracks, and I started remixing their songs, and...
They were awesome, by the way.
And,
wrapped over them.
Can you play one of them on the thing?
Yeah,
oh my gosh, we have
we'll
one.
We'll actually take a break and play one of those now. Great. See, now I don't have to lie. So you did that before you really knew them, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... Joe, that's got to be kind of cool, right?
Oh, yeah. Especially John Corlew. The infamous John Corlew.
The infamous.
The infamous.
So what kind of... What was the shift tonally that you guys decided to bring John on and start this... Well, kind of the next, I guess, the next phase of your band.
Well. We started working together on a side project.
Okay.
And everything that we were coming up with, we were really enjoying and we were really passionate about. And the thought of having two bands, one of which, because, I mean, for a while, Wildfront was just not really doing anything. We were just playing shows, playing the same set over and over again.
We weren't practicing or writing or anything.
Right. It was like, it just felt so dead. And so working with John, like, brought this whole new...
kind of got you out of that rut.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in
the rut. Having that effect on the podcast, too.
We've been stuck in a real fucking rut. Yeah. Here we are. I feel reborn.
Yeah.
Born.
But yeah, and I don't know, thinking about having to go between, like, this really fun thing that we're doing really cool things with, and then this thing that hasn't really been doing anything, and it just, like, didn't sound fun.
Sure.
And so we thought, why don't, because we actually considered adding John as the bass player. Before we found Devin. But there are many reasons for why that didn't happen. And we're very glad that he came into our lives at the right time, because it was absolutely the right time. Any time sooner would have been too soon.
Does this all have to do with The Secret and how you use The Secret to form your band? And a
perfect secret?
The Secret. The look on Joe's face is my favorite thing in the world right now.
Oprah Winfrey used The Secret.
Is it a lotion?
Secret by
Single
Winfrey.
Best thing ever said on this podcast.
That was amazing.
Is it a lotion? So I guess, I mean, all of this has been leading up to the new album.
Well, sort of.
We wrote and recorded the entire EP Strange Gold that we just released.
Right.
About a year ago.
Last summer.
Yeah.
Okay. No, not a year yet, but like June or July.
Is it about?
Not a year yet.
Not
all right,
a year.
It's about.
It has been a year
this
yet.
It's merely a fortnight.
Poor Mike. No, we wrote all those songs a long time ago, and we've been playing that whole set for a year. And so us and unfortunately John wasn't involved with that EP at all, and I wish that he had been, because everything that he has added to the live set for the songs off of it that we still play, or a couple, they just sound brand new. And so I can only imagine
what are you still currently playing off of the new album?
We still play Strange Gold, Love's Not Eternal, and Thunder.
Okay.
Only
you
now
know we don't have a drummer anymore, right?
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
And he has programmed all the drum tracks.
What was the school of thought there to start
incorporate the programmed drums?
Yeah, and to do away with having a live drummer.
Well, it was sort of, I don't know, everything that we would practice, the way that we started writing over the last few months is, you know, we would program a drum track to play along to during practice, because we didn't have a drummer there. Well, there are a lot of bands that we like that play to a drum track. And so we didn't think that it would be, you know, too weird. Of course, once we got to the point where we were playing and then, you know, having to worry about the sound guy mixing everything correctly so that everything sounded good enough, because playing to a drum track as opposed to playing to live drums is a completely different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to work really hard on getting those beefy enough and, you know, getting the bass
and
everything.
I use Ableton Live, and that's something that I've been working with since I was 12.
Okay.
As well.
So you're pretty well versed in it at this point.
Yeah. I would like to think so.
I mean, I'm not going to do my own ordering.
One eyebrow is raised much higher than the other one, indicating his confidence in Ableton.
Nostrils flared. Ric Flair. Inspiration.
So I guess the question is now, I mean, you've got a music video out, which is really brilliant, and then you've got, we had your director,
the show, Chris Ranker.
Yeah, director and shooter Chris Ranker and Warren Smythe. We had them on for a Juicy Mushu podcast. And so you've got the new album, and you know, you just did this tour. Why don't you guys talk a little bit about the tour and how that experience was?
It was a whirlwind.
Where to start?
I ain't parking.
I ain't paying nothing.
That
I ain't parking. I ain't paying. And I ain't painting nothing.
That was in Baltimore.
I believe.
What do you have on tap?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I believe.
Parallel parking at a pay as you park.
Parallel parking at a pay as you park.
Save a lot of money when you buy direct.
Oh god!
I'm parking here. So. That happened. We stayed at the Bates Motel.
Okay.
Basically.
Should we start from the beginning?
Let's start from the beginning.
Start from the top. People don't abbreviate.
Webster's defines touring as getting in a vehicle.
Okay.
How's my wrist
look? Let's see. We first.
Gorgeous.
Okay, so our first stop was Atlanta. Oh, well, let's just start before that, actually. So,
I was born in 1991.
No, we had John's car all ready to go.
Subaru Outback.
Subaru Outback.
Nice. Which broke down 2 days before.
Oh, no.
Okay, we were to leave.
Well, yeah, so he gets everything fixed. He's got to do checkups, got to get this fixed, got to check out the airbag because his model got recalled, and then he's got to get the light fixed and all of these things. And then as we're driving through a Taco Bell the night before we leave, we get pulled over, and they give him a ticket for his headlight or like something like that. And we're like, are you kidding?
And almost my insurance. You didn't get a DUI because you were obviously
impaired.
Which was...
Three cop
ridiculous.
Cars behind my car for a headlight out.
Wow.
Yeah, and they like asked me to drive, and he was like completely sober, like completely.
We'll just say, we bought a 12-pack. He bought us a 12-pack.
Uh huh.
Like 8 o'clock.
This was the night of our show at Exit Inn.
Around 9:30, and then we get pulled over at 2:30 a.m.
They disappear, as in we didn't drink them. Like someone right. took them all.
I actually drank all of them.
No.
You just didn't want to share them with
point
me.
Of stone cold sobriety.
Stone like, cold Steve Austin.
That's a sobriety. Really? You came around the bend. No, it's not real.
I'm so gullible.
It's fine.
You?
I really.
Gulliver's travel. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so our first stop was Atlanta, and it was awesome. There's an all-woman school there called Agnes Scott, and so everyone who went to our show was a lesbian.
It was great.
You can
so
say that.
That was funny. No, but it was an awesome stop. We had so many friends there. And then we got
to sleep in twin-size beds
together. Oh, Joe and I slept in a little bed together, and it was we giggled for about half an hour because it was so strange. And then
so
in the
weird.
Middle of the night,
like what do you call it? Feet to head to toes. Yeah.
No,
toes.
I wanted
no.
to do that.
No,
and everybody was like,
but my feet stink.
His feet smell terrible.
I've heard. Yeah.
I've heard.
No.
Do you know about John Corlew's feet?
Yes.
Legendary.
Gone,
legendary.
They're disgusting.
Corpew. No, I've heard that can be an issue if you try to do that.
Yeah.
Not specifically with you, John.
But just general foot to toe.
Yeah.
Foot to toe. Foot to toe.
Foot to toe generally works well for me.
Uh-huh.
Because foot to fingers is absurd.
Yeah. Yeah.
What am I going to do with these fingers?
You ever try finger to nose?
Dude.
Tip of the nose.
Dude.
Tip. Finger to tooth. Ding, 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 ding.
The xylophone teeth like it's
yeah.
in Sam.
Uh-huh. So in the middle of the night...
It's okay.
Mike, you're going to be okay.
These are just, my legs. He's just, you know, cringing.
Trying to get it going.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. No.
We'll talk about stuff.
So from Atlanta, we went to
Raleigh.
We went to Raleigh.
Raleigh's beautiful. Yeah. We didn't get to spend much time there, but
yeah, we pretty much showed up right when it was time for our show. And
oh
then,
wow!
And then we had to. We stayed at a...
Went down a one-way street in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. With friend.
But it was great. I mean, it was a great city. Atlanta's traffic is so horrible. Like, nightmare.
Everyone. I have never heard anybody say anything positive.
I was so anxious.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So then going to Raleigh, where the streets, I guess on whatever side of the city that we were on, the streets were very open and clear. We got a great parking spot right in front of the venue. It was awesome.
And then
very
from
pleasant
Raleigh.
Experience.
Annapolis.
We went to Annapolis.
Oh,
we
wow.
Which is a weird place to play, apparently. We were trying to book a show in D.C., but a local band helped us out with a show in Annapolis. Are you familiar with that city?
A little, but...
I keep thinking you're saying Apolis, but then it's just Annapolis.
Annapolis.
Yes.
No, that was... It's like this harbor town. There's a naval academy there that's really famous. And it's just gorgeous. It's very, like... My description so far, Joe's had to hear me say it over and over again. Just like cobblestone streets with no like lines on it, and all of the buildings are just these like dark brick, all attached to each other, and like the sailboats everywhere because the water's right there. Everything's That's walking really nice. Distance. I mean, it's so picturesque that you're taken immediately, and then you start to be like, okay, no one. Who is anything like me at all would live here.
Right.
You know what
sure,
I mean?
Yeah.
I really wanted it to be foggy.
Yeah, I mean, so then how did that translate to the show? I mean, how was the crowd for that show?
It was one of the smaller ones.
Sure.
But, I mean, the venue has some names playing there, you know. It was like one of two venues in the entire town.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. But, no, it was a cute little venue. I mean, I was happy to play there.
Sure.
We met great bands at every stop, by the way, so that made up for any lukewarm turnout as far as, like, crowd went. But before Annapolis, after Raleigh, we stayed at a, what's it called? A Super 8. We stayed at a Super 8, okay? Mm-hmm. And making jokes about, oh, no, we're going to have to stay in this motel, this is going to be funny, whatever. And it was fine. It was, like, totally fine. And I didn't realize just how nice the Super 8 was until the following night. We stayed at a Roadway Inn.
Oh, Lord.
One of the highlights of the trip was just how humorously terrible this was.
There was icing
on my comforter.
On the mattress.
So I slept without any sheets in the fetal position. Because we got up there and it was so warm, but then in the
oh my gosh! First of all, it was a smoky.
So many questions. Is the Roadway Inn? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is this a chain?
Yeah,
yeah. I've seen it before. R O D E W A Y. I'm telling you so that you can avoid
them at all costs.
I'm spelling it out.
My experience with hotels and motels is that it's the independent places that are generally a little more run down and gross.
Okay.
I've never heard of Roadway, but I have stayed in the Super 8 and it was okay.
Yes.
But I'm interested to know, like, when you said there's cupcake icing on the mattress.
Someone was snacking.
Were you going by
somebody
texture?
Just wanted to eat a cupcake in bed.
No, I'm saying, how did you know it was cupcake icing?
We're making a joke.
Well...
Oh,
we
Joe.
Tasted it.
We
Joe.
Think that it was something
else. Gotcha. Joe goes to check in, and we're waiting in the car, and she texts us and says, gotta get the taser. This place is shady AF. And she says, I walk in, and my chest is all puffed out.
Yeah, as soon as John and I were waiting in the car, as soon as she sends him that, he's like, will you be okay? And I was like, yeah. And he hops out immediately and runs in there because he wants to make sure she's protected.
And, what sketched her out is that people kept coming in and out,
and this was late.
One guy walked in,
it was like,
and Michael,
3 in the morning.
Who was behind the desk, says, so soon? And the guy's like, man, you know, you gotta get it in, and then walks out.
Oh, that's the kind of place we were in.
Okay.
So,
cupcake icing.
Cupcake.
Snack it in bed.
So we go up to the room, and it is 80 something degrees. Because someone has cranked up the heater in a small space.
Sauna.
We immediately realize that it's a smoking room, which we asked not to have one of those.
Sure.
So it was just, I mean, we were just hit with a wall of discomfort as soon as we crossed the doorway.
Of comfort? You said of comfort?
Discomfort.
No, of comfort.
Yes. She said of discomfort.
Warmth and smoky aroma. That's comfort.
Discomfort.
Is that a lotion?
It's like The Secret. Yeah. Same makers.
But, and so, like, the night before at the Super 8, they gave us a handicap accessible room that was available on the first floor so we could load our gear in and out easily. Yeah. Yeah. They were willing to do, like, anything we wanted. We were like, we want this and this and this. Also, we need to check in now and check out tomorrow.
We're also really super picky.
And they were fine. The woman was so... And then we get here, and it's just, like, nothing we asked for. We're on the second story, because he was like, there isn't any heating in the bottom.
Although, at Super 8, I had a bad experience. They go in to check in, and this man's walking around with some mangaritas. God.
I forgot about this.
He passes the car like 3 times and then just plops down, whips it out, and starts peeing right in front of my car. And the lights were on.
Mm-hmm. He sends me a text.
He's a performer. He's just he has to perform.
He calls me. John calls me, and he's like, you won't believe what's happening. So I go to the door and look out, and I can only see the guy's back. But I see this trail of urine coming.
You saw his back. I saw his front.
Yeah. So I was like,
and the margaritas.
No.
The margaritas.
And then the guy sits down with his pants still down, facing the road, and is just sitting there like that. And their cars.
Busy road.
Wow. Tour highlight.
Bizarre.
So I'm laughing on the other side of the phone from the guest. I mean, from the check-in.
Anyway.
So,
Bye,
Cameron.
Say what you gotta say.
Well, I gotta go.
Yeah.
But we're gonna play another track.
Another track. And we'll see you next time.
Yep.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. We'll be right back.
we're back. So, tour. Talking about tour.
Yeah.
Where else did you go? Is that it? No. That was only like 3 dates in.
Yeah. Well, we only had 4 nights away.
Well, is that it?
Anyway. We had Exit Inn in Nashville first, and then right. we played in Atlanta, and then Raleigh, and then Annapolis. And then after Annapolis, after the roadway, we went to...
Baltimore. Every day's like an open door. Every song's a symphony. Good morning, Baltimore.
Every day's like
the world's gonna wake up and see.
Baltimore and
Baltimore.
Ball, salty more.
Ball
Sonic. You got a dirty ball? Take it
to the ball. The ball wash in Washington.
Right.
Everything, you know, it's abbreviated. Wash.
Right.
Boulevard. Boulevard. Got a dirty boulevard? Take it to the boulevard wash. That was an ongoing joke with anything. There was a boulevard. There was a bolt.
Oh, Lord.
Ball wash.
Wash. Got a dirty ball? Bring it on down to the boat wash. Damn it.
Perfect.
Yeah, so.
Baltimore.
Baltimore.
How was that?
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Baltimore is.
It's very. Mm. It's so. Mm. It feels like home to sure. me. I feel like. Do you guys feel similar?
Oh, yeah. There's a huge art community. There's a school yeah. of art. Mika. So there are just murals everywhere. Craziest night was the night of the show at the Auto Bar.
We played at Auto Bar, which was a huge honor. We're very grateful.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Who did you play with there?
Natural Velvet was one of the bands we played with. Wing Dam, who is the band we stayed with.
Mm-hmm. They played with us at Exit Inn at the start of our tour. So okay. When they came through Nashville, we played with them in our home city. When we went through Baltimore, they played with us in
Nashville.
Oh, that's
really cool.
And it was also the last date of their tour.
Okay.
So it was just, you know.
Perfect coincidence.
Yeah, yeah, it just lined up. So I played with them, and another thing called Slipper, who has a guy in it from another band called Weekends. Yeah, just like. Like he said, there's an art school there, Maryland Institute College of Art.
The drummer of Natural Velvet owns an oddity shop called, in Baltimore.
Called Bazaar. But
B-A-Z-A-A-R.
Okay. Yeah.
Bazaar.
Right.
And Shrunken Heads, that's human awesome. Teeth, embalming fluid from the 20s.
Plus wow. lots of taxidermy stuff.
I loved it. I think you guys were kind of freaking
Baltimore's
out.
A great, like, they've got a lot of just weird, neat little stuff. Like, John Waters, home of John Waters, you know?
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It's like,
He actually mentioned, because I think I made a John Waters joke, and he mentioned seeing him at some weird 80s, I don't know, like, 80s music, I don't know, maybe an 80s themed bar.
Weird.
It's a gay bar.
Yeah.
And John Waters loved going there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, that was pretty cool.
We just met so many people. Everyone that we met was so welcoming and kind and just creative in some way. Mm-hmm. They were all older than us, so they all had, they were business owners or they had like,
oh, wow.
Whatever. And everyone lived in a cool house and then, okay, so anyway. You were saying about the night after Auto Bar. You were saying the best night.
Oh, the craziest best. Night.
Yeah.
Well, this happened.
John has a busted up hand.
It's
yeah, he's got bandages on his hand.
It looks
hand.
A lot better. It's Carrie and Joe's tube amp. I had guitars on my back, my laptop, cables. I had a bunch of stuff, but I tripped over this carpet on their hardwood floor. And I guess the amp smushed my hand.
Oh, no.
And there was blood on her amp. There was blood on the floor. Blood everywhere. You know when you get a deep wound and you put it under a faucet?
Yeah.
And you can still see the water in the sink. It was just red.
Red? Oh, no.
So wicked, gnarly.
Gnarly. Cut.
Was it? This was after you.
After we played
the last date, though. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
And, yeah. Well, we played a show the other night. Last night.
Oh wow!
Night. Was that last night?
That was last night.
The night before.
Or last.
Okay.
Where was that?
Pussy Palace.
Pussy Palace.
Oh, okay.
House in Nashville.
Pushy Pettish.
Right.
Home of Idle Bloom. Lead.
Well, one of them.
This Olivia.
Advaita
played from New York.
Oh wow!
They were
great.
But Joe and I in Baltimore go out on the town. Sleepy Krista stays in, and
I do.
We were gonna go
to a benefit show at this place called the Copycat, which is in this warehouse building directly across the street from where our friends in Wingdam live.
But it's like an apartment building too. Yeah,
warehouse apartments.
They're warehouse apartments. It's crazy.
So Krista and I went to Baltimore, I guess last summer, for a little festival. And we stayed with our friends in Wingdam when we went last summer. And there was a show happening at this place called the Copycat. So we went to the show, and it was insane. I mean, the local bands that played were amazing. But this was happening in the same place. And so me and John were like, okay, well, let's go walk over there. And so we get to the top floor, and they're like, oh, it's actually over, but there's a rave happening over across the street. So we were like,
we're gonna go to a rave.
It's 2 a.m. Why not? Let's do it.
It was 2?
Yeah, it was like
2:30. We were out until 4. We got back at 4.
Wow.
So as we're going back downstairs, we see these orange duct tape arrows on the wall. So we follow the arrows down into the
belly of this strange building in another city. Had I been there,
you would have been like, no,
yeah.
voice of reason.
Yeah. So,
this is what happens when you let them loose and there aren't any scaredy cats to hold them back.
So we're like, you know, going through this like maze thing. And then we come into this open room and there are these lights shining on this sculpture thing. I don't know what
they were. Molds, clay molds of flat bill hats and shoes.
Just like rows of them.
Yeah.
They were like, and the room was, I'm just going based on the pictures I've seen. The room was dark and big and open and empty, and that they were just lit like as though it were a display. Like a,
wow.
I'll
show you this picture so you can see that.
Oh, wow, that's really weird.
Yeah.
So all of these arrows were just leading to this room.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that, you know, this had an event in it earlier or something.
Right.
So we hung out in there for a little bit. Just, you know, it's the weirdest thing.
Right.
So then we go to this rave, and
I love that sentence. Oh, then we just went to this rave.
Oh, we walked past two dudes peeing on the way there.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, you're peeing.
The peeing, guys.
And then we walked around the corner, and I was like, you're peeing, too! What did the guy say?
He's like, I'm not European. Yep. I'm from here.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so anyway.
It's bad, because I was going to make a similar joke. So.
Okay, see? Someone's got to embarrass themselves.
So we went to the rave. Go up these,
so what is rave?
The staircase, and alright, you explain.
Well, we walk in, and apparently the guy that had coordinated all of this, he used to play drums in a band called Other Colors that we're also friends with that's come through Nashville, and we played with them.
Great band, yeah.
But he was in the band when they came through, and so I saw him across the room, and I was like, hey, this is weird.
Right.
I'm here, in your town. Anyway. So that happened, and then we went, and he was like, yeah, there's a keg. You guys can go drink as much of it as you want. Of course, at this point, I was already pretty drunk, and I didn't want to drink anymore, but good old John.
John took advantage of that, floated it himself.
Yeah, and we went and sat by the window and talked about drugs.
Right.
And then got interrupted by a homeless drug dealer.
Who had overheard your conversation?
Acid.
He was a crazy looking dude.
When we get to Baltimore, I'm driving and I just see these guys.
Earlier that day.
And I'm just, oh, wow, look at those guys. They, the way I've described them, they look like they were straight out of a Nirvana music video.
Oh, wow.
And just like this long yellow trench coat and steel-toe boots and, I don't know.
Men out of
time. We were calling him. Yeah. We were calling him '90s guy. As we drove past, we were like, "Look at '90s guy."
And '90s guy is at this rave, and he's like,
"Cause they call it Small Timor for a reason."
Oh God,
he was something else.
Did you talk to him?
Oh yeah,
at length.
John did. I just kind of stood there and was like,
I was curious because I was. You know,
wait, so is '90s guy your homeless drug dealer? Is
yeah,
the same guy. Oh, same guy. Perfect.
It's crazy. It was great. He's crazy
and
looking.
I was curious because I didn't know if he, you know, was an artist and happened to deal drugs.
Right,
but no. He just deals drugs.
That's what he looks like.
Oh,
took a picture of him. Couldn't forget.
I'll never forget.
Yeah. Let me see him again.
Wow. He looks like a character in a Coen Brothers movie. Like, that is, wow.
He's just got this crazy haircut and these fake-looking, crazy-looking bent glasses.
Nothing about him looks real. He looks like a movie character.
Yeah, he's like wearing a bathrobe or something. Wow. I don't know.
And, you know, when you're kind of... you're having a conversation with someone, and it's about that time to wrap up the conversation, and you turn away and to let the other person know, I'm done.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
Nope.
And he wanted buds in Nashville, so was bothering us. Let me get your number. Give me your number. And I'm like, my phone's dead.
All right.
And I was hoping Joe would catch on. But
he saw me take pictures, though. That's why he was looking at me. He was like, you have your phone?
No.
So I pulled it out, and I was like, yeah, what's your number?
Did you save it?
No.
Oh, man.
We could call him right now and get him on the show.
Come on. Oh, my show. Gosh.
We just say 90s guy. Really love
90s guy! Yeah.
And he'll be like, what? Wow. Who is this?
So, Baltimore, crazy wild town.
Mm-hmm.
You come back home.
But there's so much of it that's, like, so easy, too. You see that crazy kind of thing, but then it's
everyone was so nice.
And the traffic is just, like, non-existent there as well. Just, like, so easy to drive.
Well, we also weren't driving during rush hour, so let's keep that in
mind. We drove all day long.
It was on a Saturday.
That's true.
Saturday and Sunday were the 2 days we were there. So
Mike was currently looking at both Joe and I saying that's true, and I couldn't tell who he was agreeing with.
Both of you. I have to be the middleman. So good tour overall.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was great.
So I kinda wonder what's next.
We're working on all kinds Fondo? Of stuff. Yeah, so that's the whole point of us being on here, Road to Fondo. We have
not necessarily. I mean, we're just kind of profiling, you know, different bands, getting a good cross section of people who are going to be playing. Cool. But did you play last year?
No, we were slotted to, and our location was busted up by the
Costers.
And the other bands, there were three bands on the bill. It was SOS 1995's first show.
Uh huh.
Us and the Star Killers, who are now called Forrester. SOS 1995 played, the cops showed up and told everyone that they couldn't play anymore, and then the Star Killers were put on another slot on the square. We were the only band who show was canceled, and we were never able to play again.
Bummer.
But so because of that, I'm glad that we're able to play again this year, and hopefully we are actually able to. So
We're good.
We've got the end coming up on the 28th.
Yeah, okay. Playing at the end.
Mm-hmm. Playing with the Shondas, who recently went on tour with Against Me.
Oh, wow.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So beyond that, I mean, what's the next phase of the band? I mean, how do you continue to grow? Do you stay in the area? Are there hopes to leave? I mean, what do you want to do?
Well, we're definitely wanting to move away. And we're thinking about good old Bmore.
Yeah.
Of course, there aren't a lot of places that we've been to. We have not been to a lot of places, so you know, exploration is definitely important.
Yeah.
So far, Baltimore's been our favorite, and we already have a pretty good friend base there. So.
Absolutely.
Pretty solid group of people whose music we've always liked from a distance. Bands sure. that we really look up to. We are now, like, you know, sort of familiarizing ourselves with the area, and we really respect that city because of that.
A lot of good bands have come out of Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, great. I guess that wraps it up. Where can our listeners find your stuff?
Bandcamp, wildfront.bandcamp.com, and then iTunes and iTunes. Spoutify.
Spoutify.
And Spoutify.
And the Sound and Xbox Music and Radio and
Facebook. What's the Facebook?
Facebook.com/wildfront music.
Yeah.
Wildfront.
We're working on new stuff now, and we intend on recording more music and
we're
releasing
some
singles.
Some stuff on Sunday.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll have some singles out here really, really soon, and maybe work on trying to get an album recorded over the summer. And then after that, we will be working on your film.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we're not talking about anything.
We'll talk about that later on. We'll have y'all back on to talk
what?
About that goodness.
That's just future stuff. That's
future
all.
Stuff.
Sorry. We'll
all
cover that
stuff.
Another night.
What is film?
Huh?
What? You said what?
Oh, my God. Well, thank y'all so much for coming out. It has been a fun, long show.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's great. We're going to need a bigger show. This has been...
Yes, Fiend.
John Corleone.
Krista.
I have been Mike D. You can find us on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/biggershowpodcast, Twitter @biggershowcast, youtube.com/users/needabiggershow, iTunes biggershowpodcast, and facebook.com/biggershowpodcast. Go rate and review. We are also going to be doing a pretty fun event at the beginning of April, and if anybody, you know, there's some cost involved with the podcast, so if anybody would like to help us out, be able to do this event, you can donate to us, needabiggershow@gmail.com through PayPal. We need that money to be able to pay for some of the things on the show. So, thank you all so much for listening. I have been Mike D., speaking for Cameron B. Childs. We'll catch y'all next week. Goodbye. We're gonna need a big